worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 121. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over your soul. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. All of Psalm 121. Lord, thank you for the truth that your word is wisdom, it's power, it's grace, it's understanding, it's counsel, and so much more. Thank you, Lord, also for the fact that your word is power, your word is grace, and it does so much for us as we take the time to read it, meditate on it, think on it, speak it, and stand on it, pray it as well. Father, with every passing day, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word, and empower us all to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. And Father, anoint our prayer lives afresh with the spirit of grace, and empower us to be the people given to prayer you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for interceding on our behalf. Father, thank you so much for Jesus who died on the cross. And Father, thank you so much for calling us to greater things. And Father, thank you so much that we can spend our time now reading your word and getting to know you more. Father, I ask that we'd grow to be more like you, that we'd grow in knowledge, that we'd grow in wisdom, that we'd grow in favor with you, and that we'd grow in favor with others. Father, thank you so much for growing us and guiding us in ministry. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. On an ongoing basis here on the Hour of Intercession, one of our goals is to help believers to become much stronger and more mature prayer warriors and disciples of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And one of the projects we've had a privilege to be involved with over a period of years is the Ten Commandments Project. And would mention that that project for 2025 is coming up. The days for the speech, specifically for the speech challenge, the time frame is June 1st through June the 30th, and there will be the opportunity for young people to put together a speech focusing on the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, and putting together a speech, videotaping it, and sending it to us. And so we're looking forward to that. If you work with or know of a young person that wishes to participate, and if they just want to get started early, that's fine. And if they, once they've done the speech, and if they want to go ahead and email it to us, and we'll be giving you information about where that's to be emailed, our goal is to have that young person on a broadcast and for them to get a chance to share their speech, either the recorded speech or maybe them share it just live as they read it on air. But also inviting the parents to be a part of sharing about just the process and the journey of putting the speech together and what the young person learned and grew in as they put it together. So I want to take time now specifically to share an article that gives instructions about the Ten Commandments Project. Please email us to get a copy of the article so that you'll know what it is. And keep in mind, some parts of it you can participate in and not necessarily be a part of the speech challenge, which is okay. But if your young person chooses to be a part of all the different aspects of the Ten Commandments Project, we're glad for that. Again, the title of this article is The Ten Commandments Project and Speech Challenge. And of course, this is for 2025. Psalm 118, verse 9. Psalm 118, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? by taking heed according to your word. Again, Psalm 119, verse 9, and then Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. The Ten Commandments Project is a powerful tool to help believers and the church reach out to children and youth in our world and our culture. By the power and promise of God's word, it can really help to make a big difference in the lives of our youth. We're holding the Ten Commandments Speech Challenge once again in 2025. The Ten Commandments Project is used to both share the good news of Jesus Christ with youth and disciple them with one of the most powerful and fruitful teaching tools in all of the Word of God, that is the Ten Commandments. In our world, which seems to be set on fire by the kingdom of darkness in so many ways, the genuine answer is the powerful water of the Word of God. See John chapter 4, verse 14, John 7, verses 37 to 39, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, and Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. The Ten Commandments are found in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. They share God's moral law and His great wisdom while providing insight for living a life that honors God. My wife, Birdie, and I have had the privilege of helping to lead this project in our community for a number of years, and it's been both an exciting and a rewarding journey. Should God call you to do this, you'll see how fun and beautiful a project it really, really is. So if you're interested in participating, please do email us to get a copy of this article. That email, once again, is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. The American Family Association is interested in helping cast a vision for other believers, churches, and groups that would be interested in doing the Ten Commandments Project or a similar one in your own community. Just contact us at faq@afa.net or jparker@afa.net and mention my name if you would. The Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 9, Proverbs 9, verses 10 and 11, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. Again, Proverbs 9, verses 10 through 11. This is how the Ten Commandments Project works. One aspect of the project is the six-week teaching sessions. We take around a six-week period of time to meet once a week with a group of children and youth, and we've worked with children from elementary grades through high school in various venues such as local churches, boys and girls clubs, and other venues. These boys and girls clubs have been a key venue in different cities and areas and communities. We share the gospel with the children each week and invite them to receive Christ, and we teach biblical truths that relate to the Ten Commandments. We ask each child or youth to memorize in short form the Ten Commandments as seen in the article. Upon memorizing all of them, each child will receive a free T-shirt with the Ten Commandments printed on them. And the shirt's a great witnessing tool as well. Here the Ten Commandments are in short form. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Number two, you shall not make for yourself any graven images. Number three, you shall not use God's name in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number five, honor your father and mother. Number six, you shall not murder. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. Number eight, you shall not steal. Number nine, you shall not tell lies. And number 10, you shall not covet. When a youth is ready to recite the Ten Commandments from memory, he or she does it before their peers. Some may get all 10 on the first try, but typically many may need to try a few times or attempts before they actually get all 10 by memory. Also, when a youth is standing before his or her peers attempting to recite all 10, they are actually drilling each other on the Ten Commandments. During the 6 weeks, we take the time to teach the youth the meaning and importance of each commandment and how to live it out in our lives. We use movie clips and music videos as critical teaching tools to help teach the truths behind each of the Ten Commandments. The video tools actually help to draw them into a discussion about insights behind each commandment. It's been a very fruitful and rewarding journey since we began this project a few years ago. We see it as a great way to begin to plant the life-changing Word of God in the hearts of our children. Also, it's clearly a proactive way to both carry out the Great Commission among our youth and children and to fight and protect them against many of the tragic ways and tools the enemy uses to try to pull them into the darkness in this world. A project such as this helps the church to be on the offense during doing the work of God. The Ten Commandments become a tool to do spiritual battle with the kingdom of darkness. And here's another, the second part of the Ten Commandments project. We ask each participant to write a speech or to have someone help them write a speech based on the first commandment. That is, this year, the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me," Exodus 20, verse 3. We suggest it be 3 to 5 minutes, although any length is welcome. Also, please use your cell phone or any other means that you may have that will work to record the speech. Send the recording to faq@afa.net or to jparker@afa.net with the Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge 2025 as the subject line. If you need help in writing your speech, we're glad to assist you by telephone. You can call me, Pastor Joseph Parker, at 662-844-5036, extension 381. We're inviting children and youth ages 7 to 17 to participate in this project. Speeches should be submitted between June 1st and June 30th, 2025. Participants are encouraged to write, record, and send their video speech as soon as they have an opportunity during this time period. Additionally, every youth who participates receives a free Ten Commandments T-shirt. If a parent wants his or her child to learn the Ten Commandments and win a T-shirt without choosing to be involved in the speech challenge, you can do that as well. Have your child memorize the Ten Commandments in short form as printed in this article. Then your child should recite the Ten Commandments out loud to you by memory. After your child successfully completes this, then give us a call. Let us know he or she has recited the Ten Commandments to you by memory, and give us the youth's T-shirt size and your mailing address so we can send it to you. The devil is behind school shootings, abortions, youth dying from drugs, suicide or attempted suicides, and being incarcerated as they break other commandments and reap the consequences. Our children and youth desperately need to hear the gospel and to be discipled in the powerful word of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 tells us, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Romans 1, 16. There's power in the mighty word of God, the power to save and to heal us, the power to set us free from the bondage of sin. Our children and youth are being attacked from so many directions by the kingdom of darkness. What's the answer? Putting the most powerful weapon in the universe to work in their lives, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Ephesians 6, verse 17. Again, the title of the article, The Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge. Please email us to get a copy. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that to you for the year 2025. And please encourage your children or grandchildren or maybe a nephew and a niece or possibly young people at your church to get involved. Please email us to get a copy of the article so that you can have it posted in your church or in your church bulletin. We'd like to have lots and lots of young people participate this year. Last year, I believe we ended up with about 57 speeches, and we hopefully we'll have even more this year in this year's project. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Give you all the praise. Oh, I will.
Music from Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the only way, the only means to receive eternal life and eternal salvation. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the Old Testament in the book of Esther, Esther chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. So on March 7th, the two decrees of the king were put into effect. On that day, the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, but quite the opposite happened. It was the Jews who overpowered their enemies. The Jews gathered in their cities throughout all the king's provinces to attack anyone who tried to harm them. But no one could make a stand against them, for everyone was afraid of them. And all the nobles of the provinces, the highest officers, the governors, and the royal officials helped the Jews for fear of Mordecai. Reading verse 3 again. And all the nobles of the provinces, the highest officers, the governors, and the royal officials helped the Jews for fear of Mordecai. For Mordecai had been promoted in the king's palace, and his fame spread throughout all the provinces as he became more and more powerful. So the Jews went ahead on the appointed day and struck down their enemies with the sword. They killed and annihilated their enemies and did as they pleased with those who hated them. In the fortress of Susa itself, the Jews killed 500 men. They also killed Parshandatha, Dalphon, Aspartha, Poretha, Adalia, Aradatha, Parmashta, Arasai, Aridai, and Vezatha, the 10 sons of Haman, son of Hamadatha, the enemy of the Jews, but they did not take any plunder. That very day, when the king was informed of the number of people killed in the fortress of Susa, he called for Queen Esther. He said, "The Jews have killed 500 men in the fortress of Susa alone, as well as Haman's 10 sons. If they have done that here, what has happened in the rest of the provinces? But now, what more do you want? It will be granted you. Tell me, and I will do it." Esther responded, If it please the king, give the Jews in Susa permission to do again tomorrow as they have done today, and let the bodies of Haman's 10 sons be impaled on a pole. So the king agreed, and the decree was announced in Susa, and they impaled the bodies of Haman's 10 sons. Then the Jews at Susa gathered together on March 8th and killed 300 more men, and again they took no plunder. Meanwhile, the other Jews throughout the king's provinces had gathered together to defend their lives. They gained relief from all their enemies, killing 75,000 of those who hated them, but they did not take any plunder. This was done throughout the provinces on March 7th and on March 8th. This was done throughout the provinces on March 7th and on March 8th, they rested, celebrating their victory with a day of feasting and gladness. The Jews at Susa killed their enemies on March 7th and again on March 8th, then rested on March 9th. Making that their day of feasting and gladness. So to this day, rural Jews living in remote villages celebrate an annual festival and holiday on the appointed day in late winter, when they rejoice and send gifts of food to each other. Mordecai recorded these events and sent letters to the Jews near and far throughout all the provinces of King Xerxes, calling on them to celebrate an annual festival on these 2 days. He told them to celebrate these days with feasting and gladness, and by giving gifts of food to each other and presents to the poor. This would commemorate a time when the Jews gained relief from their enemies, when their sorrow was turned into gladness and their mourning into joy. So the Jews accepted Mordecai's proposal and adopted this annual custom. Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews, had plotted to crush and destroy them on the date determined by casting lots. The lots were called Purim. But when Esther came before the king, he issued a decree causing Haman's evil plot to backfire, and Haman and his sons were impaled on a sharpened pole. That is why this celebration is called Purim, because it is the ancient word for casting lots. So because of Mordecai's letter and because of what they had experienced, the Jews throughout the realm agreed to inaugurate this tradition and to pass it on to their descendants and to all who became Jews. They declared they would never fail to celebrate these two prescribed days at the appointed time each year. These days would be remembered and kept from generation to generation and celebrated by every family throughout the provinces and cities of the empire. This festival of Purim would never cease to be celebrated among the Jews, nor would the memory of what happened ever die out among their descendants. Then Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, along with Mordecai, the Jew, wrote another letter putting the queen's full authority behind Mordecai's letter to establish the festival of Purim. Letters wishing peace and security were sent to the Jews throughout the 127 provinces of the Empire of Xerxes. These letters established the festival of Purim, an annual celebration of these days at the appointed time decreed by both Mordecai the Jew and Esther and Queen Esther. The people decided to observe this festival just as they had decided for themselves and their descendants to establish the times of fasting and mourning. So the command of Esther confirmed the practices of Purim, and it was all written down in the records. Esther chapter 10. King Xerxes imposed a tribute throughout his empire, even to the distant coastlands. His great achievements and the full account of the greatness of Mordecai, whom the king had promoted, are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Media and Persia. Mordecai the Jew became the prime minister with authority next to that of King Xerxes himself. He was very great among the Jews, who held him in high esteem because he continued to work for the good of his people and to speak up for the welfare of all their descendants. End of the book of Esther. The book of Job. Job chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. There once was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area. Job's sons would take turns preparing feasts in their homes, and they would also invite their 3 sisters to celebrate with them. When these celebrations ended, sometimes after several days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them. For Job said to himself, Perhaps my children have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular practice. One day, the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. "Where have you come from?" the Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, "I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on." Then the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil." Satan replied to the Lord, "Yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." "All right, you may test him," the Lord said to Satan. "Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically." So Satan left the Lord's presence. One day, when Job's sons and daughters were feasting at the oldest brother's house, a messenger arrived at Job's home with this news. "Your oxen were plowing with the donkeys, feeding beside them, when the Sabaeans raided us. They stole all the animals and killed all the farmhands. I am the only one who rescued to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. "The fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep and all the shepherds. I am the only one who escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, a third messenger arrived with this news. "Three bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants. I am the only one who escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. "Your sons and daughters were feasting in their oldest brother's home. Suddenly, a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness and hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed, and all your children are dead. I am the only one who escaped to tell you." Job stood up and tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and fell to the ground to worship. He said, "I am naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord." In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. Job chapter 2. One day, the members of the heavenly court came again to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. "Where have you come from?" the Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, "I've been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on." Then the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. And he has maintained his integrity, even though you urged me to harm him without cause." Satan replied to the Lord, "Skin for skin. A man will give up everything he has to save his life. But reach out and take away his health, and he will surely curse you to your face." Verses 1 through 5, Job chapter 2. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. Father, thank you, Lord, for every person that's a part of our listening family and all those who've lifted up in prayer today. Father, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to be diligent students of your Word, believers who read and meditate on your Word each day. Help us, Lord, to be wise enough to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in your word daily. And help us as parents and grandparents and those that work with youth more and more to make it a high priority to help our children to read 3 chapters or more out loud in your word so that they too can be blessed by the power, the grace, the joy, the peace, and the light that flows into their hearts and their minds as they read your word. Thank you for that opportunity. And anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the word of God. We'll be right back. Covenant Church with I Will Lift Up My Eyes. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 1. Very early in the morning, the leading priests and the elders of the people met again to lay plans for putting Jesus to death. Then they bound him, led him away and took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, realized that Jesus had been condemned to die, he was filled with remorse. So he took the 30 pieces of silver back to the leading priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he declared, "for I have betrayed an innocent man." "What do we care?" they retorted. "That's your problem." Then Judas threw the silver coins down in the temple and went out and hanged himself. The leading priests picked up the coins. "It wouldn't be right to put this money in the temple treasury," they said, since it was payment for murder. After some discussion, they finally decided to buy the potter's field, and they made it into a cemetery for foreigners. That is why the field is still called the Field of Blood. This fulfilled the prophecy of Jeremiah that says, "They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price at which he was valued by the people of Israel, and purchased the potter's field, as the Lord directed." Now Jesus was standing before Pilate, the Roman governor. "Are you the king of the Jews?" the governor asked him. Jesus replied, "You have said it." But when the leading priests and the elders made their accusations against him, Jesus remained silent. "Don't you hear all these charges they are bringing against you?" Pilate demanded. But Jesus made no response to any of the charges, much to the governor's surprise. Now, it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one prisoner to the crowd, anyone they wanted. This year, there was a notorious prisoner, a man named Barabbas. As the crowds gathered before Pilate's house that morning, he asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you? Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" He knew very well that the religious leaders had arrested Jesus out of envy. Just then, as Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him this message: "Leave that innocent man alone. I suffered through a terrible nightmare about him last night." Meanwhile, the leading priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas to be released and for Jesus to be put to death. So the governor asked again, which of these do you want me to release to you?" The crowd shouted back, "Barabbas." Pilate responded, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." "Why?" Pilate demanded. "What crime has he committed?" But the mob roared even louder, "Crucify him." Pilate saw that he wasn't getting anywhere and that a riot was developing. So he sent for a bowl of water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. The responsibility is yours." And all the people yelled back, "We will take responsibility for his death, we and our children." So Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. Some of the governor's soldiers took Jesus into their headquarters and called out the entire regiment. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head, and they placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. Then they knelt before him in mockery and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and grabbed the stick and struck him on the head with it. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him again. Then they led him away to be crucified. Along the way, they came across a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. And they went out to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. The soldiers gave Jesus wine mixed with bitter gall, but when he had tasted it, he refused to drink it. After they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Then they sat around and kept guard as he hung there. A sign was fastened above Jesus' head, announcing the charge against him. It read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross." The leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself." "So he is the King of Israel, is he? Let him come down from the cross right now, and we will believe in him. He trusted God, so let God rescue him now, if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the revolutionaries who were crucified with him ridiculed him in the same way. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. But the rest said, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him." Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many. Reading that verse again. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, "This man truly was the Son of God." And many women who had come from Galilee with Jesus to care for him were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. As evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, who had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate issued an order to release it to him. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth. He placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb and watching. The next day, on the Sabbath, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember what that deceiver once said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everyone he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first." Pilate replied, "Take guards and secure it the best you can." So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. End of Matthew chapter 27. Thank you, Lord, again for the opportunity to read and meditate on your word daily. Thank you, Father, for your word, which is permeated with your Holy Spirit. And thank you for the many ways your grace and peace pours into our hearts and our minds as we read and meditate on your word. More and more, help us to be faithful as individual believers, as men and women of God, as fathers and mothers who take time to read and meditate with and disciple our children. Anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace. Help us as families to make time to read your word together, to read it, listen to it, and obey it daily. Anoint us afresh with the Spirit of prayer and the Spirit that would encourage us to be the diligent students of your word that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession, as we usually do before we end the broadcast. If you are listening today and you've never, ever made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day, a wonderful day to commit your heart to Christ, receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and be saved. If you want to make that step, would you pray this prayer with me right now? Lord Jesus, you've loved us with an everlasting love. Thank you for loving us so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray and seek you in prayer daily. Help me to obey you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new relationship and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be sure and be in touch. Again, joseph@afr.net. We look forward to hearing from you. Once again, if you want to get a copy of the article entitled The Ten Commandments Project and Speech Challenge 2025, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that article to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.